Hi everyone, welcome to the World Bank EdTech Podcast. Today we're talking about the 16 knowledge packs that our team recently released on individual topics within EdTech. Over the past few years, global education challenges have been exacerbated by the pandemic. On a daily basis, our team speaks with educators and policymakers around the world about how, when, where, and with whose support technology can be effectively used to support learning. To share what we've learned more broadly, our team recently launched 16 short guides or knowledge packs on individual topics within EdTech. For example, personalized and adaptive learning. How can personalized and adaptive learning technologies address pedagogical challenges? Or remote learning using mobiles. How can policymakers use mobiles to implement remote teaching and learning during emergencies to keep students learning? Or innovation ecosystems. How can education ministries leverage the innovation ecosystem for remote learning? Today, World Bank Senior Education Specialist Cristobal Cobo speaks with our World Bank team, Research Analyst Maria Barón Rodríguez, Analyst Iñaki Sánchez Ciarusta, and Consultant Sarah Kleinman about the process of developing these knowledge packs.
Welcome to the World Bank EdTech Podcast, a conversation on the use of technology and innovation in education globally. My name is Cristobal Cobo. I'm a senior education technology specialist at the World Bank, and we are very pleased to have with us today my dear colleagues, Maria Barón Rodríguez and Iñaki Sánchez Ciarusta, both members of the World Bank EdTech team, and Sarah Kleinman, consultant from the World Bank EdTech team. To all of you, a warm welcome. As you know, we have this series of podcasts where we talk about education, global challenges, and how technology can help or not to mitigate the global education challenges exacerbated by the pandemic and its implications. In today's episode, we want to talk about the recently launched Education and Technology Knowledge Packs, a series of World Bank open access guidance on how to effectively integrate education and technology. This series of resources offer world-class guidance on how, who, why, when, and where technology can be effectively used to support learning. So let's dive right into that. Let's go with Maria. Maria, welcome to the show, and why we need more information if there's so much out there.
Hi, Cristobal, and hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here in this podcast again. And yes, definitely, as you mentioned, there is a lot of information already existing on many of the topics covered by the knowledge packs. However, I think that we identify the need to develop pragmatic, action-oriented resources because a lot of this information is dispersed and fragmented and often doesn't give you a comprehensive view of the whole literature. So we have, for example, some very good academic papers, reports from international organizations, technical notes, industry notes. However, there is not a one-stop shop type of document that policymakers and staff need to actually have the basics, the evidence, case studies, stakeholder analysis. So the idea behind this is that reading a knowledge pack would allow you to skip hours and hours of perusing documents and research and would provide a synthesis with the main definitions and main discussions on each of these topics. Let's say, for example, a colleague doesn't have a lot of information on this specific topic. The KP would allow this person to have the one-on-one information needed to start asking the right questions during the initial stages of a project. And these are short, pragmatic guides on individual topics within EdTech to provide sufficient knowledge and understanding so that anyone, either a technical or non-technical person, can make or can have sufficient information to make the key planning, design, and procurement decisions for any EdTech intervention.
That's awesome. Thank you, Maria, for explaining me the acronyms. And I really struggle with this. I want to bring the voice of Sarah. Sarah, welcome to the show. Look, on the EdTech field, there seems to be so many different technical and human components that are important to be addressed. So when you build these KPs or knowledge packs, what are the topics that are being addressed?
Hello, Chris. Hello, everyone. I'm very pleased to be with you today. Yes, that's a great question. So for now, we have developed 16 knowledge packs. The topics, they are diverse and reflect the rapid spread of technologies to support different aspects of education. So let me list them to you. First, we have one KPI on teachers' skills and skills frameworks for remote and blended learning. We have another one on technology for literacy, one on remote phone-based formative assessment, one on digital content for teaching and learning, one on devices for education, one on EDU radio, one on EDU TV, one on remote learning, on mobile, on assistive technologies, on technologies for personalized and adaptive learning, on learning management systems, on cloud for education, on education and management information systems 2.0, learning and accountability system architecture, on innovation ecosystems, and finally, on procurement.
Oh my, 16, that's a lot. It's like a Netflix series, right? With a lot of episodes. Can you explain me a little bit who developed these resources and how?
Yes, Chris. Each KPI is the result of a collaborative and iterative process to ensure quality information is captured in an easy-to-navigate document. So the content was elaborated by experts in each topic, and then a complete work of harmonization was undertaken to be able to transform exhaustive documents into interactive guides with a very simple structure. And of course, reviews have been conducted at every stage of the process to meet the high quality standards of the World Bank.
Thank you so much, Sara. That's super helpful. Let me bring the voice of my colleague Iñaki. Iñaki, say that, welcome to the show. Say that I'm not really familiar with the work of the World Bank, so therefore I'm not really understanding why these KPIs are relevant at all. Can you walk us a little bit through how can these resources can be used and who can benefit from them?
Of course, Cristobal. Thank you for inviting me to the podcast once again. Well, first of all, something that I would like to highlight is that all these knowledge packs are open resources, so anyone can access them. And this is one of the goals of this podcast and an upcoming blog that we will be developing. It's actually disseminating all these great resources that we have been developing for the last year. You just hear the big list from Sarah. We want these knowledge packs spread and reaching as many people as possible. Now, when we were working on these knowledge packs, on these KPIs, we did have different audiences in mind. I think that we have other episodes where we explain a little bit about our team, how we are a central team, how we try to support our colleagues in regions. So this was one of the audiences that we had in mind. As team leaders, bank project managers that are working with different ministries of education in EdTech programs in their countries. Right? That's one of the audience, because we do think that these resources can help our colleagues in bank finance projects regarding education. The second audience is for ministries of education in general, both non-technical staff and also technical staff. Again, as Maria was explaining at the beginning, we think that these resources can help them in the process of planning, of designing, of working on the procurement of country EdTech programs. And finally, the third cluster of audience that we had in mind is related donors, related NGOs, related any other partner, because we did think that these KPIs can help us align their programs, our programs, and have a common understanding and a common framework. Now, that being said, these are accessible and available for all, and I think that later we can talk a little bit more about where to find all this. About the how to use them that you were asking as well. The idea is to have a very dynamic document, not the traditional long reports that we have in the bank and in other organizations. So these are meant as a starting point, as an initial approach to some of the topics that Sara mentioned. All these KPIs, they have a very specific structure. They are developing a very simple language. We try to put the core of each of the topics in no more than 30 slides, and they follow this structure with the who is the audience, the why, trying to explain why this topic is relevant, the problem statement, the evidence around it, then the what, entering a little bit more into the details of each topic, and finally, but very importantly, the how. The details around how to implement, how to make practical actions after these resources. We are using them in a lot of our training programs and reaching out to countries, but maybe later I can give a little bit more details on that, Cristobal.
That's super helpful, Iñaki, and I'm so relieved to hear that these are only 30 slides or 30 pages and not 500 pages I was expecting. based on other resources. And as we were discussing with Maria, navigating in a world full of information, having something short and focus, I think, is something that many, many experts and practitioners will welcome a lot. However, let me challenge you a little bit. This still sounds a little bit too high level or too abstract. Can we go down into a very concrete example where you can explain us how these resources can be helpful for a country?
Of course, Cristobal. Let me try to answer your difficult but important question. So now the key idea is to have something short, something sharp, something to the point, something actionable. I think that these KPIs, they can be used and useful to tackle those challenges in different ways. First of all, for me, it is important because they help us setting up the context and the right framework when we are talking about certain topics. No? Again, some of the KPIs talk about digital skills. One of the KPIs talk about adaptive and personalized learning. So when we are talking about certain topics, it is essential to be sure that we are all aligned, that we are all talking about the same thing. So again, they help us with this framework. The second, and related to this initial point, is that we need to have very clear the why, the purpose. And this is one of our principles that we also mentioned in another podcast. No? If the technology is the answer, we say, which is the question? I think that these KPIs help us ask the right questions when countries, when colleagues at the bank, with others working in these topics, are having in mind some of these as a potential solution for the challenges in their countries. They give very specific, very concrete and practical information. So they don't consider only the what, but also the how, no? Information about how to implement. This information that usually is more difficult to find. So Sarah was mentioning a little bit the process to develop these KPIs. I think that one of the key parts to have these KPIs useful is that we engage with the ecosystem of partners to create these actionable tools. So we connected with experts, but also in some of the topics with the industry to ensure that we are including information that otherwise is not very common to find. To give you maybe some concrete examples, in the case of the personalized and adaptive learning KPI, we give a specific case studies of what we have been doing in different countries and some of the lessons learned applying adaptive learning in the countries. In the case of the KPI that talks about digital and digital pedagogical skills for teachers, we include a very useful comparison between frameworks that tackle different competencies. No? In the case of the devices KPI, for example, there is a very useful section comparing each type of use case scenario, the trade-offs, the challenges, and the solutions. So again, it's very specific. And just to give you maybe the final example, very relevant to the work that this team is doing. We are developing a training program, a learning and training program that we call EdTech Policy Academy. This is focused in our colleagues in the bank, but also in client countries. And in those training programs, the knowledge packs, they play a key role as a starting document to start thinking about the key questions and some of the ideas about these EdTech topics.
Thank you, Iñaki, for navigating us into something much more concrete. That's super helpful. Let me get back to Maria. Is this a manual? Is this a list of academic evidence? Is this a list of technologies? Is a combination of tips? What would you consider a good experience of how this thing has been implemented to in-depth analysis before people go and explore these resources on their own?
Thank you, Chris. First, I wanted to go back to your first question on what actually the knowledge packs can be helpful, because I think that points to something that Iñaki was mentioning before as well, and reminds me of something a professor at my college used to say. You need to know that you are sufficiently knowledgeable on a topic that you don't look like a fool, even if you are not an expert. So I think that to be able to get to that point, you would need to review a lot of material, a lot of papers, a lot of information. To be able to ask the right questions, you would need a lot of background information and maybe consulting with experts. With some limitations, the knowledge packs can actually be that step for policymakers and practitioners to have that first overview of a topic. Sometimes these type of topics, for example, cloud, devices, can be perceived as a bit complex. So why I think these guides are useful, because these are implementation focused. They have information on the main challenges and pitfalls and information on procurement and costing. This is not something that you find on published literature. It's very difficult to find this. You have to talk to people who have deployed these type of programs to have this type of information. Also, all of these resources use simple and non-technical language and actually provide with useful definitions that aid non-technical audiences. And finally, and going back to what Iñaki mentioned, the structure of all the KPIs follows a very simple design that focuses on the main questions. So the whos, the whats, the whys, the hows, and that allows readers to get a comprehensive overview of any edtech topic in, as he mentioned before, less than 30 slides. And actually, I think this is something that needs to be pointed out. Developing short materials actually requires more effort than doing very long guidelines, because this requires several iterations to keep what is essential to the audience and also provide a curated further resources and reading materials and Q&As that can be used to delve deeper into any of these topics if the reader needs that.
Thank you, Maria. And I really love that you said this is information that is not in the literature, which makes me think like, wow, that's super, super interesting. So it seems like there are a lot of interconnected components. If we discuss about devices for students and teachers, that is unlikely to be very useful if there are not capacities built among the users, if there's not the appropriate system support, if there's not the appropriate monitoring, if they're not adapted to the context. And I was wondering to what extent we will see that in these knowledge packs.
Thank you, Cristobal. I think that's a critical question, because it allows me to explain a little bit more on why these knowledge packs shouldn't be viewed as isolated products, but actually as part of an ecosystem or a universe. And you mentioned devices, and Iñaki has mentioned devices too. We've heard a lot during the pandemic and even before, a lot of the questions were centered around what type of devices should I purchase to increase learning among students. However, we need to think about the asking why, the learning goal, why we want to, what is that we want to attain, rather than focusing on the medium or the device itself. So providing devices should be considered an element of the solution to improve learning, and not the goal on its own. There is evidence that solely distributing devices without a supportive ecosystem that includes software, teacher training, student training, incentives, policies, it can, without all of the supporting ecosystem, it can be actually detrimental to learning. So the devices KP follows this approach using the main tech principles that we need to connect devices to the predefined goals and objectives, and provide selection criteria that highlights the key technical consideration that would allow us to actually achieve these learning goals. So when you look at the devices KP, you would see callouts to the teacher skills KP or to the adaptive learning KP. This is just to highlight that they are all connected. And when you look at just one part of the system, you need to think about all of the other parts as well. As Iñaki mentioned, we have plans of doing more. And we're not doing more just for the sake of doing more. It's actually to fill these gaps in information when you actually want to deploy a comprehensive edtech strategy.
And Maria, if I may, in your point of how all these are connected, no? And maybe using your example of the devices KP, if the colleagues who are listening to the podcast, they go to any of these KPs, they go to the last section, the conclusion section, they will see also very visually how the different topics are connected, no? So we developed this graphic that it's like a circuit with the learner in the center, with the different topics, this whole edtech universe, so to speak, and how particularly the devices KP is linked to some of the others. And by the way, in that slide, listeners will find as well how to stay connected with some of the work that this team is doing, including how to follow us on Twitter, how to subscribe to this podcast, or how to read our blogs.
And to add just a little detail on what Iñaki said, the KPIs were designed in a way that you can jump from one to another because the topics are very connected.
So we have this list of knowledge resources, knowledge packs shared by Sarah, very diverse. Are you guys planning to develop more or change or do for people interested after they read all the knowledge packs?
Of course, Cristobal. And again, we are developing these resources because we do believe that are useful. So I would invite the audience to share also their feedback with the different channels that we have, including the Twitter account. Maria was pointing out something that is key, developing this core of each topic. No, these crisp, short resources is not easy. It's challenging. So that's why one of the updates that I can share is that the team will continue iterating these KPIs that are already public. Why? Because, well, as we all know, the technology changes, we find the new evidence, we want to improve the KPIs that we have there. We want to expand some frequently asked question per topic. So that's the first update, no, that I want to share, that the team will continue iterating the published KPIs, always accessible. And also because each topic is linked and related to other topics. No? For instance, devices is related to teacher skills, is related to LMS. So we want to also improve that internal linkages between the public KPIs. The second area of improvement about these resources is that we want to include new topics. Just to mention a couple, we are developing one on connectivity. We are developing one on digital skills that I think that there is a high demand. And we are, for instance, developing one on blockchain for education, building from a blockchain community of practice that the team put together last year. So that's the second update, no? New topics. These are just some. We will be publishing during this year other topics. And the third and also key update that I can give on behalf of the team is that we are perfectly aware of the need to translate some of these resources into different languages. Maria was pointing out how these resources, they include information that is very difficult to find. So again, even more difficult to do so in languages that are not English. So the team is currently in a process to starting to translate into other languages like French some of the resources with higher demand. And we continue this process.
Thank you, Iñaki. And let me highlight something that you mentioned that I think is super interesting. These resources are connected, which goes beyond the highly specific, high specialization and silos of knowledge. And here you're saying the knowledge grows when it's connected and you expand the scope of specific technologies, of a specific integration of technologies, which is basically the big picture, right? The idea of a 360 degrees, or what we call sometimes the ecosystem, which I think is sometimes missed in many of the discussions about technology, where the focus is too much on technology and too little on how and who use the technology. So that's great. And also the idea that these technologies and the use of them is always evolving. So it's a moving target in a way. So it also kind of pushes us to keep ourselves studying and revising and learning from others. That's fantastic. Thank you. Let me get back to Sarah. I have two questions for you, Sarah. You invest quite a bit of time in with the rest of the team in elaboration and the revision and the structuring. How was this experience for you being part of this all multi-partner production? And also perhaps to start closing the program, how can the audience access this?
Well, that was an amazing process for me because you make people who are experts in different fields collaborate all together to create something that will be helpful for so many people after that. So for me, the best part of it was to create something very impactful. And then to answer your second question, Chris, you asked me how can the audience access these resources. That's very simple. Let me recall what Iñaki said before. The knowledge packs are open resources. Anyone can access them. Indeed, the point is to support any initiative to include EdTech in education project by providing this knowledge, which is needed to do it right. That's why we're creating different meta resources like this podcast, like an upcoming blog, to share the knowledge packs with our audience. So if you want, you can already find the links to the knowledge packs in the description of the podcast, and you can just download them.
Only open access, and I think it's wonderful. Thank you so much for being part of this show, but also thank you for the huge amount of hours that you all and other many other colleagues invested in the elaboration of these resources. As Sarah is suggesting, we expect that this will be of help and use for many others to guide, to enrich, to compare. And in that, on that areas, I think there's a lot of interest, particularly in the current moment, post-pandemic, if we can say so. So wonderful to have you here and wonderful work done by all of you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. That was great being here. And to the audience, remember, the KPIs are just one click away.
Thank you, Cristobal. It was a very fun podcast. We really hope that the audience enjoy the resources, and we wait for your feedback.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, colleagues. This has been really fun, and I really hope that we have enticed the audience to read the KPIs and to take a look at them and to use them.